Now, you know, the ability to remain calm in a storm is a real blessing, right? The ability to be able to, when someone's life is collapsing around them, the ability for you to remain calm and centered is a real gift. I don't have that gift, right? I wish I had that gift. I tend to fall to pieces or fall apart, and not in a good way either, or respond to the anxious energy that's going on around me. You know, there is a guy who used to live behind us. We called him One Ton Tony. He was huge. And everything about him was big. His voice, his laugh, the firecrackers he used to set off behind us all the time. He never wore a shirt. That was big tone. The only thing that wasn't big about him was his shorts, right? He always wore these stubby shorts, and you can still see him if you go there. He's always parading around, just a pair of shorts and a pair of pluggers, and he's out there. And one morning, I was making my way to him because I'd heard some pretty horrible news, and I just wanted to see my brother. And the news was that overnight, in the middle of the night, he'd woken up, and the mother of his five kids and his best friend, he found her, she'd died in her sleep next to him. And so I made my way to him, and he saw me before I saw him, and he ran towards me, and he saying, "John, my world's falling apart." And he ran towards me, and not ran, but you know, he made his way, and he gave me this full frontal bear hug. Now, men, we don't do physical contact generally very well, and when we do it, it's usually not very well rehearsed. So I was a full frontal bear hug. He was only wearing a pair of shorts and thongs. He was sweaty, and my face just went right in between his chest, and he was covered in sweat and chest hair, and it was all in my face, and he was just gripping me tight, and I kind of was stuck in that moment, and I held that embrace, and I was tempted to say something. And as I opened my mouth, all the oxygen was sucked out of the hug because his fat just stuck against my nostrils and mouth. And I just held on for as long as I could. And we held that embrace for what felt like an eternity. It was probably only 30 odd seconds. And you know, every time, I wish I could bottle that aroma of sweat, tears and chest hair in a little bottle that I could carry around with me, that I could then apply to myself every time I'm tempted to offer some words where there are no words. Because in that embrace, we both sense that we shared a moment of holiness. It wasn't long after that I had to go around the corner to deliver some a shopping cart to a beautiful young lady in our community who's only really known the love of one man. She says he's the love of her life. And she was pregnant to him for the second time. And as I knocked and opened, and she opened the door, I could see that she was not in a good way. He has another love, and that's drugs. And he's a pretty violent, brutal guy. And he had laid into her, and you could see bruises on her arm and on one side of her face where she was shielding herself and her kid from the attack. Again, a moment where there were no words. And so she wept and we embraced. And she was sobbing, saying, "Never again, never again. I feel like such an idiot." No words, but another holy moment was shared. I wish I could carry those moments around with me over and over again. You know, holiness, let's talk about holiness. Holiness in the faith tradition, the religious tradition, is often always thought of as being set apart, as being kind of separate from the business of life. It's kind of standing apart, being a bit aloof, being a little bit stoic, so when things are happening that are going wrong, we can stand and be a pillar of strength. I don't buy that. Let's try and reframe that. I suggest that we should reframe that and say, let's not think about being holy as being set apart, but let's think about being holy as being set amongst. Amongst our brothers and sisters. Set amongst, not like a cat amongst the pigeons or a bull in a china shop, but more, or a tower of strength, but more, as Reverend Graham says, as a pillar of weakness. As one that is open and available and stands with, in an embrace, with our brothers and sisters. That doesn't have answers, but probably has a face full of tears, sweat, and unwanted chest hair. Then we might have a chance. See, holiness, like salvation, is a team effort. We need one another. In fact, in the Bible, it says where two or three are gathered, and it probably would say where two or three are gathered and are not talking to each other and lecturing one another and trying to fix one another, there I am, God says. I am tabernacling in the midst. God says, I am enfleshed in the midst. There God is present, where there are two or three. The life of faith is a sustained protest against anything that tries to deny the vicissitudes of life, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Anything that attempts to deny that life is up and down, or anything that attempts to distract us, anything that tries to level us out. If anyone tells you life can be easy and life can be without pain, I would suggest you buy a kilo or whatever they're selling, right? Because it is, life happens with all its ups and downs. The life of faith is an opportunity for us to reframe our sufferings and not say, oh God, why did they happen? It's about including it as part of life. The life of faith is an invitation for us to see our suffering in a new light. And I say it's an invitation, and I use that word very carefully. It's not a commandment, because only you can decide what to do with it. It cannot be forced upon you. God can't force that stuff on you. You can be invited to see it as a doorway to compassion, as a doorway to Christ, as a doorway to community. And that's our link with today's, our passage right here. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal. This is not about hell. This is about the suffering and the normal ebbs and flows of life that has come on to test you, as though something strange is happening to you. No, it happens to us all. The life of faith is an opportunity for us to participate with our brothers and sisters and with Christ as an invitation into deeper community.